Chapter 9. A sparrow that perches on a garret window, or twitters on a twig. Leave me to myself. Look, my beak is not aquiline by any means. And so, my dear friend, you who have been reading this last page in wonder, and who, instead of a description of Athens, have been accommodated with a lament on the part of the writer, that he was idle at school, and does not know Greek, excuse this momentary outbreak of egotistic despondency. To say truth, dear Jones, when one walks among the nests of the eagles, and sees the prodigious eggs they laid, a certain feeling of discomfiture must come over us smaller birds. You and I could not invent it, even stretches our minds painfully to try and comprehend part of the beauty of the Parthenon, ever so little of it, the beauty of a single column, a fragment of a broken shaft lying under the astonishing blue sky there, in the midst of that unrivaled landscape. There may be grander aspects of nature, but none more deliciously beautiful. The hills rise in perfect harmony, and fall in the most exquisite cadences. The sea seems brighter, the islands more purple, the clouds more light and rosy than elsewhere. As you look up through the open roof, you are almost oppressed by the serene depth of the blue overhead. Look even at the fragments of the marble, how soft and pure it is, glittering and white like fresh snow. Was all beautiful, it seems to say. Then the hidden parts of me were spotless, precious, and fair, and so, musing over this wonderful scene, perhaps I get some feeble glimpse or idea of that ancient Greek spirit which peopled it with sublime races of heroes and gods. One, and which I never could get out of a Greek book, no, not though Muzzle flung it at my head. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.